seconds, the countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Quantel, opt-in, opt-in, go tape.
This is Publius bringing you A Step Farther Out. Your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society. And it is Saturday once again, the 18th of November in the glorious future year of 2023. The shielding has failed, and we are now once again exposed to the direct radiation of the great nuclear furnace. In other words, it's sunny out. Which I appreciate, although Tobe perhaps might not. It has been a very grim past few days here in North Texas. I, on the other hand, am packing to go to Los Angeles for LOSCON 49, incorporating WesterCon 75, the convention, annual convention of the Los Angeles Science Fantasy Society, which is being held at the LAX Marriott the weekend following Thanksgiving. So it'll be next Saturday, and we shall see if I can do a show from there. I am on several programming items, including I will be once again attempting to do a live reading of Moon Prospector by Bill Ellern, and it is not beyond the bound of possibility that the man himself will be present. But I have to do various things, one of which is to test whether this video capture card that I have that sockets into my laptop. Now, it's an HP video capture card, but it uses the PCMCI bus, and it should socket into my ThinkPad, and that should allow me to use my analog tube-type video camera. And so I am considering carrying that beast and its tripod all the way to LA for this purpose. Because, you know, I'm just that kind of a person. I would not be going except that I can go by train. Amtrak sold me a ticket, which has been very difficult to convince them to do, really and honestly. But yes, some of the items on which I will be appearing include Is Space Mining a Future Industry? And When We Get to Space, What Will Families Look Like? Hopefully I can come up with something good for that one. I will also be participating in a science fictional version of the classic TV game show known as The Match Game, because one of my friends, Kevin Stanley, past Worldcon chair, is a game show enthusiast as well as being a science fiction fan. And he and his wife, my friend Lisa, got together a version, a very well-created version of The Match Game, specifically to put it on at science fiction conventions. With, you know, science fictional-type questions along the lines of, Einstein said, God does not play dice with the universe, but sometimes he plays blank. Or, Admiral Morrow said, Jim Kirk has the biggest blank in Starfleet. It's always a fun occasion, and I have been invited to participate as one of the panelists this time around. So we shall see how that goes. I'm not the ideal contestant for this, because I have a nasty habit that the second thing I think of is almost always funnier than the first thing. That, my friends, is a great handicap. You have no idea. The French have a word for it, l'esprit de l'escalier. The spirit of the staircase, as in the thing you think of only after you've turned and gone upstairs. Only after delivering your blistering retort, turning and going upstairs, do you think of a substantially more blistering retort. Okay. Now, very good news. Let's see. I should mention For all my Patreon supporters, and it's not too late to get into that category if you're not one left yet, patreon.com/man_and_atom. For all my Patreon supporters, you can expect to receive mail from LA. Well, certainly supporters in the U.S., and I'm going to try and do it for supporters outside the U.S. as well. You see, this year, I finally bit the bullet, and I have done something I've been talking about doing for some 15 years, ever since I first started doing table displays at conventions, which is to have made some of these ribbons that have adhesive on the front that you can stick to the back of your convention badge. People really like these ribbons, and some people get so many of them that they look like, I've compared it to the artificial beard of the Babylonian priests that you see in the bas-reliefs from their temples. Particularly the younger fans often compete with each other to see if they can build them up to several meters in length, which is quite astonishing. You know, they frequently have to fold them up several times. Anyway, but people like these ribbons, and I've actually got a couple of designs. There's a one for the Luna Project that says, "The stars are ours," which is a slogan that sort of, I've been using it along with Luna City or Bust since, you know, 2007, 2008. But also, it also definitely fits the Man and Atom message. But I also have one that says Atomic Power to the People. And it should be, I think it's silver on maroon and gold on blue being the canonical Luna Project colors. And again, you know, it's one of those things where if I don't like how they came out, well, all that I've lost is money, right? Cost me $77 to get the two orders. And anyway, the thing is, when I pick them up from someone who's going to be at the convention, who basically bundles orders for other fans, because the companies that handle these things are mostly, like, intended them to be used for trade shows, which are much larger orders. Anyway, that to one side notwithstanding, I'm going to pick them up from him, and I'm going to put them into mailing envelopes. And I'm going to, so everybody who's on my Patreon list is going to get in the mail an envelope with some of these ribbons in them. And indeed, also the other Patreon, because of course I've got two going simultaneously. The other Patreon, which is Publius_Reads, which is specifically for the reading science fiction stories on the internet, you know, live on the internet thing. Those folks will also be getting mail, but probably not the badge ribbons, but they will definitely get postcards. Last weekend, as I told you, I went out and bought a whole bunch of space postage stamps, specifically so that I could do this. And let's see, what are other things that I'm going to be doing? But yes, so also, I just this morning received from a contributor a contribution for issue one of Blast, which I've been talking about the last little while. And I have basically all the layout done. And the only thing I have left to do for a preliminary version is to put together a fairly elaborate diagram. And I'm not looking forward to that, but it looks like all the pieces fit together more or less, which is mostly what I was hoping for. And so I'll be going to the office supply store, basically, on Monday. Probably the office supply store. I might go downtown, but the folks, well, anyway. But the point is that I'll get printing done for 10 or 15, maybe 20 at the outside, sample copies. And, you know, cardstock covers, you know, plain paper interior, staple fold, or fold staple. Anyway, and so I've got the envelopes. So my Man at Adam Patreon supporters will be receiving, at the higher levels at least, like the $5 level, will be receiving not just the convention ribbons, but also a sample copy of this propaganda that I've been working on. And so, if you are in that fortunate group, in that favored group, then you can look forward to receiving that in your mail. And I think I can even get that into International Letter Post without paying $15, which is the lowest price for an international parcel now. I think I can send it as International Letter Post, which means, you know, for 100 grams or so is like $3.50 or something to most destinations. So yeah, look forward to that. But yes, and I'll mention, just because she, you know, because I feel I should, I got a letter from SDFer Christy O'Twisty that was not related to this show, and so I'm not going to read it out over the air, but she too is going to be getting mail from L.A. If you send me mail, you're likely to get mail in return, and it will often have nifty little stuff rolled into it. At least some of the Patreon supporters will also be getting specimens of the souvenir badge I made for the NASFIC earlier in the year. I promised that. I hadn't delivered yet because I was still working on the cyanotype badges with the astrophotograph prints. But the time of year where it's good to work on those has mostly passed now. I still have to experiment with various papers to see what will take it up best without being too thick for the badge making, which has so far been my problem. You know, I've managed to use a couple of different kinds of paper and gotten sort of mixed results. Onion skin typing paper, I found, well, firstly, the papers I've tried mostly took up the cyanotype solution very unevenly, with lots of blotches, which doesn't give good results. But the other thing I found was that, of course, you develop them by soaking them in water and then hang them up to dry. I found that some of the typing paper that I used would just wrinkle, just ludicrously wrinkle. Anyway, so that's sort of the state of what's going on with me. But yes, if you want to give a non-recurring donation, paypal.me/PrometheusLives, anything is very, very much, very, very much appreciated going into this convention, where I'm going to have expenses for, as I say, everything from printing to food, and, you know, already I've spent what money I could scrape together mostly on postage stamps. So yeah. Am I good at planning things? Well, the universe gets in the way by arranging things in the most inconvenient of time orders. Anyhow, but yeah, so also if you want to give me a one-time contribution, that will be vastly appreciated. Of course, always I desire, I welcome, I accept, I will probably read out on the air, I will probably respond to with nifty premiums, your cards and letters. Send those to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas, 76101, United States of America. Let's see. I've got that. Hold on. I have to... Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah, and then... Right, there's the mailing address dropped into the metadata of the stream. So it'll show up in your media player. I think that's really cool. Anyway, so that is sort of the state of what I'm doing at the present time. I should let you know. So the reason why this is LostCon 49 incorporating WesterCon 75, when, if you'll recall, I did a live broadcast last year from WesterCon 76 in Tonopah, Nevada, you're thinking, what is time? But suffice to say that WesterCon 75 was canceled because of the pandemic-related closures. And then WesterCon 76, it was decided that the next WesterCon would be the canceled WesterCon 75, and there was a group who was going to do it in Anaheim. And in late May of this year, about a, well, 6 weeks maybe, before their planned July 4th date, they threw in the towel. They said they didn't have enough people who were, you know, signed up to be members, and they didn't think that it was going to work out as a convention. So what happens in that case, because the WesterCon is a function, in a sense, of the Los Angeles Science Fantasy Society, is that the WesterCon, which failed, gets folded into the LostCon that year, which is the local Los Angeles convention, as opposed to the traveling convention, which can be anywhere west of Denver, basically, in the contiguous United States. It can also be held in Hawaii, but that is discouraged. It was only done once, and hardly anybody showed up, because Hawaii is very expensive. There's also it can also be held in Western Canada. It might possibly be permitted to hold it in Mexico, if you could come up with a good site. And you might be able, I'm not sure about on a cruise ship off the West Coast. Anyway. But, anyway, unfortunately, I'm afraid that the folks at the LostCon didn't give too much thought to folding in the WesterCon. Basically, they took over the memberships and the and some of the programming, which is why I wind up on programming, because the people who were going to set up programming for the WesterCon are setting up for the LostCon, and they had talked to me last year and said they wanted me on the program this year. Anyhow, that's less relevant. The point is that there's not really any provisions made for displays. And so I will have a table. I've been promised a table and possibly two if they can swing it, but I'm not holding my breath. So I'm only bringing stuff that's going to fit in a suitcase. As I said, I'm going by train. If I couldn't go by train, I wouldn't go. But I'm only bringing stuff that'll fit in a suitcase. I am not bringing my art panels. Alas! And alackaday, I am not bringing my art panels. So if you want to see the 6 Kelly Freeze posters or the 12 Interatom photo art prints or any of that, I'm afraid that this LostCon is not your chance. I will, however, be bringing the payphone thing. And we shall see how much of an attraction that truly is. Some people think it's really nifty. Anyway, so yes, I will be bringing the payphone thing, and it'll work this time, I'm almost totally certain, because I've had it working with a Raspberry Pi for several weeks now, just sitting on a table here in my house. So if something, you know, if that doesn't work, then nothing is going to work. Dropping my Patreon and PayPal links into the stream metadata. And then also, let's see. also dropping in the link for the payphone thing in case you haven't seen my my payphone thing. Okay, so do I have anything substantial to talk about? Well, sure, I have something substantial to talk about. I always have something substantial to talk about. First thing you need to know is that Nuclearia e.V., the German pro-nuclear citizens organization, is now entangled with the Umweltbundesamt, the federal environmental, I don't want to say agency, more like institute. It's separate from the Bundesministerium for Umwelt, at least nominally. Anyway, because, you see, Nuclearia applied to be registered as an environmental organization. And being registered as an environmental organization would give it some privileges, such as a privileged opportunity for commentary on energy policy questions. Well, the UBA shut that down immediately, said absolutely not, you don't have the correct provisions in your charter. And so Nuclearia held a special meeting and amended the charter to include the relevant provisions and applied again. And the UBA shut it down again immediately, saying, absolutely not. But the reasons they gave are very flimsy. And so the Nuclearia has appealed this decision to the administrative court in Hall, I think it is. And basically, the purpose of this lawsuit, as much as anything, I think, is to force the UBA, the Umweltbundesamt, to admit what is widely known and understood, but never formally said, namely that the UBA is a creature of the Green political party, and that designation as an environmental organization has very little to do with the environment and everything to do with providing patronage for supporters of the Green Party. And so, of course, Nuclearia, which is in favor of nuclear energy, cannot possibly be designated as an environmental organization because the Green Party hates nuclear energy. That is their one rock-solid foundation point, as a matter of fact. The one thing they are unwilling to compromise on. They're perfectly happy to start coal plants back up that were claimed to be permanently shut down. But running nuclear plants? Absolutely not. That is forbidden. Verboten. Strength verboten. But, of course, this is never openly, publicly said that the UBA is a creature of the Green political party and that the purpose of this designation as an environmental organization is patronage for supporters of the Green party. So either the UBA will have to accept Nuclearia as an environmental organization, or it will have to admit what it really is and what the real purpose of these designations are, or some third thing, which I think is the most likely outcome. I don't know what the third thing is. We'll have to see what the administrative court in Hall does. Let's see, Tobe wants to see the designs for custom club telephone tokens that he knows I came up with. Tobe knows me all too well. But I will only release those once there's some likelihood of having them made. So far, the inquiries I sent out have not been successful. I need to ask more private mints. Or I need to make my own. And as I've said many times, having my own private mint is a major goal of mine, but it's not one that I have yet attained. Let's see. Bad argumentation continues apace. Of course, I always like to point out, people say, oh, the nuclear waste problem is unsolved. I say, no, it's not. They say, plutonium has a half-life of 25,000 years, which means you have to manage nuclear waste for 250,000 years. And then, of course, when you say 250,000, people then scale that up to larger numbers for no particular reason. Whereas, of course, the plain fact is, if you throw away the plutonium, you have to throw away 99% of the uranium, and with it any hope that nuclear energy can make a long-lasting, significant contribution to the world energy supply. And that is more or less the objective of the people who say the nuclear waste problem is unsolved. That's their whole deal. Another interesting argument that I encountered, that's interesting because it's poorly framed. You know, people were talking about wind machines, right? Now, wind machines have their place, perhaps. In places like Manitoba, which have an enormous amount of hydro capacity per head of population, Manitoba or Iceland, maybe Norway, you can, because hydro can be throttled up and down quite rapidly, you can use wind to substitute for hydro and save your reservoir water for another day. And so it does have a place, but it's also got serious disadvantages. Blade erosion, the large efforts required for offshore wind installations, all that kind of thing, right? These are all important disadvantages. Well, one of the things people talk about is the fact that the machines kill bats and birds. Because, of course, unlike a steam turbine, where everything is sealed inside a casing and the working fluid is recirculated, you've got atmospheric air, which has insects and bats and birds and pollen and leaves and detritus of every character in it, and raindrops, which eat away at the blades over time. But also it kills bats and birds, partly by hitting them, but also partly by the sudden change in air pressure in the vicinity of the airfoil, which causes them to have aneurysms. Their blood vessels burst and they die. Anyway, but what's important here is that somebody said, well, cats kill far more birds every year than wind machines, and therefore, if you really cared about birds and weren't just using this as a way to dunk on wind, you'd be trapping and euthanizing feral cats. Can you pick out why this is a bad argument? So, where I go to is that birds, in this case, is a very large category. Cats kill a lot of sparrows. I used to have a little, you know, finches, songbirds. I used to have a little bitty cat that would catch mockingbirds out of the air, which was impressive as all get out. House cats don't kill very many California condors. House cats don't kill very many juvenile golden eagles. Wind machines are well documented to do that, right? Large birds of prey, which are much more likely to be endangered, are also much more likely to be killed by wind machines than small songbirds are. So this is bad argumentation because it lumps together things that are not quite the same. That's an important consideration for me. Also, I just wanted to mention, you know, there's a lot going on in the world right now which causes me just to shout, the people on this planet are crazy and I want off, so please do send me your $1 billion so that I can build my spaceship and go to the moon and live there for the rest of my life, however long it happens to be, whether I die of old age or a rock pile falls on me or the pressure containment fails. But, I noted that in the Wall Street Journal's real estate section, which is usually good if you're out of mustard and need an emetic in a hurry, the Wall Street Journal's real estate section, somebody's saying, wait, in places like Vail, there's no housing for the people who work at the resorts. Where will the peons live? Apparently, the desperate need for servants' quarters for those of us who aren't billionaires has finally penetrated to the editorial offices of the Wall Street Journal. Which is fun. Oh boy, I hope I haven't gone quiet. Uplink is good, downlink is bad. So this will be in the archive, but you may not hear it live. Anyway, so you've been listening to A Step Farther Out on Anon Radio, which is a service of the SDF Public Access System. Listen every Saturday at 1900 UTC. Also listen to my other show, Hear Now the Words, Tuesdays and Fridays, 15 hours UTC, here on Anon Radio. And coming up next is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is always a fun time and is every day at 1930.